I lay my hand on the edge of the hospital bed, the cool sheet over my brother's still body barely rumpled. The machine next to me beeps with steady persistence as clear liquid drips into a tube in his arm. I study him in silent expectation because today, more than ever, I need him to hear me, to give some sort of sign that it's going to be all right. But Ryan remains still. I quietly watch my brother's eyelids. Not a single twitch or tremor. No indication that he's aware I am beside him. My gaze drifts toward the two lumps that are his feet at the end of the bed. I wait for movement. But there is none. I know we planned this months ago. You helped me go over all the lines so I'd nail this, only... My voice snags in my throat, which has suddenly gone dry with the truth. I am going to let him down. This week, my brother was supposed to start his final project at UCLA's School of Theater, Film, and Television. He rented a space downtown to hold auditions for his senior thesis in his major, directing a modernized version of Rebel Without a Cause, his favorite movie of all time. When he told me he wanted me to try out for a lead role in his student film, Natalie Wood's character, I pushed for a smaller part. But acting was never for me. In fact, the entire entertainment industry was never for me. It's his thing. Weighed down with guilt, I know this project is huge, even without the connection to his favorite film. It's his chance to prove he wants to and can direct, therefore breaking into the competitive Hollywood film industry. Except, last week, Ryan went to Lake Hollywood Park, tolerating the tourists, to stare up at the white letters of the Hollywood sign. He often goes there to daydream of one day defying the rules and climbing the infamous letter H, carving his name there after his first Hollywood success, signaling to eternity that indeed he is an integral part of the mystique he so adores. On the way home, Ryan's car spun out of control on Mulholland Highway, busting through the fencing on the other side of the road and down the embankment. An injured coyote was found lying in the middle of the road, apparently the cause of the accident. That night, Mom sat in this very chair next to him, her shoulders shaking with violent sobs. And when the doctors told us Ryan had slipped into a coma, Dad stood so straight, his face pained beyond belief, that he looked as if he were afraid to move. Every day since, we've been keeping a silent vigil, hoping and praying Ryan will wake up. You're here early. The morning shift nurse interrupts as she enters the room, the pants of her navy blue scrub swishing with each step. She smiles at me and proceeds to assess Ryan's vitals, her quick fingers pressing the confusing buttons on the machine next to his bed. I just wanted to check on him, I reply, watching as she loops another bag of IV fluid onto the hooked stand. The nurse moves to the other side of the room and scribbles the next staff shift on the whiteboard, then gives me a thoughtful look. He can hear you, you know. He may not be able to show it, but he's in there. She tilts her head, then gives me an encouraging smile, before leaving me alone with my brother. I stand and lean over the bed, gazing down at his inert form beneath the covers. The tiny cuts on his face have already scabbed over, and the growth of a thin beard covers his chin. I hope she's right, that you can hear me.